KB4 CBA Mobile.
KB4 CBA, W4 DJW. Well, good afternoon, Dave. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine as a frog. Hair split three ways. How about yourself?
I'm taking a break. I'm about to overload on mechanic. And I started working on the Hayabusa this morning, and I got the fuel injectors out. I'm going to just clean the whole fuel system out because it's been sitting for about, best I can guess, is 9 years. So, and then I had to order some parts, so I can't work on that anymore. So I'm going to sell a pressure washer and a rear tine tiller, a two-wheel tractor. Started working on the pressure washer, got it pressure washed and cleaned and started and videoed and ready for Facebook Marketplace. Bam, one achievement. Started working on getting the two-wheel tractor to run in and pull the rope right off the starter. So I decided at 3 o'clock it was time to come in and take a break.
Well, evidently, that starter rope must have seen better years. Oh, me. So what was the first thing you were working on?
My Hayabusa. It's been sitting. It's a Suzuki 1300 R. It's been sitting for about 9 years. It's a four-cylinder with 8 fuel injectors. And the gas tank, I took it apart, and the tank has these big inlets on both sides where you fuel it and where the fuel pump goes inside the tank. And took them out so you can, like, a small person could get their whole hand inside the tank. My hands are too big, they won't go. But it's got some kind of dust in there. It's not rust. It's like white talcum powder, but a little more grainy than talcum powder, but not much. So I started cleaning that up, and I thought, you know, if that's in here from sitting for 9 years, which it has still had gas in it. It still had a gallon of gas in it. But if that's that way, then the fuel rail is just right outside. The fuel pump, when I tried to turn it over, it immediately popped the 10-amp fuse. So I just ordered another fuel pump. But then when I was thinking about it, the fuel rail and the 8 fuel injectors, 2 per cylinder, I thought, you know, they're not going to be any better. I'm just wasting my time if I do all this work and I don't do them too. So I got 2 things, a fuel injector cleaner kit, right? Pretty decent kit, nice little kit. Plus I went ahead and ordered some more fuel injectors just in case.
KB4 CBA Mobile, a Suzuki, huh? Well, I've got 4 center caps if you need those for the tires, for the rims.
4 center what? Center what?
CAP. For you know, the emblem, the Suzuki, it's got the Suzuki emblem on it, and it, you know, pops right on the center of your rim. I'm not sure how I got those, but anyway, they're sitting in my toolbox if you need them. Oh, me. So, were you able to get that, whatever that powdery stuff, you got that out of your fuel tank or wherever it was?
Well, I'm thinking about ways to do that. So at first I was pouring gas in it and then shaking it around. The gas tank is off of it, and it's a motorcycle. It's not a car. It's only got 2 wheels, and they don't have hubs. But so I was thinking about, because I pour gas in it, and I can look in there with a flashlight, and I can see the little dust. You know, I've got a fuel pump. I pump the fuel out. I pour the fuel in. I shake it up really hard because I put the fuel pump back on it to seal it, and I put the fuel filler on the other end to seal it, and then I shake it really hard. Then I take those both off. I suck all the gas out that I can with this little handheld fuel pump that runs off 2 D-sized batteries I got from Harbor Freight. And then I look in there with a flashlight, and as you can see, it looks like sand on the beach with some gasoline in it. So I rigged my vacuum cleaner with a little clear plastic hose that I got a coat hanger strapped to, and I just go down in there with that little clear plastic hose about a quarter inch in diameter of the hole, and I just suck up the sand, right? And then I do it all over again, and it's the same amount of sand every time. I was blowing compressed air in there, creating a hurricane of particles flying all over the place, bouncing off the walls. And then I stuck the vacuum cleaner nozzle down in there to suck up the hurricane of particles bouncing off all the walls of that gas tank. And that got a bunch of it out. I think I'll just keep doing stuff like that till there's no particles left.
I really don't know of a better way to do that. That's the way they do fuel tanks, that have been sitting a long time. If they're not rusted out, they just, got old gas and particles in it, you don't want to suck up into your engine. So you're talking about a two-wheeler Suzuki. Okay, well, sorry about that. I guess you did wonder what I was talking about. Well, sounds like a lot of fun. I've got a horizontally opposed six-cylinder Honda Valkyrie that's ready to go to California if you want to take it off my hands.
A horizontally opposed six-cylinder, three cylinders on each side, kind of like a Corvair engine?
I didn't get much of that because I'm in the nice little spot on Wade Hampton here.
Okay. My cousin had a Corvair Spider that had a six-cylinder, horizontally opposed six-cylinder, air-cooled. Is that the same thing? A Valkyrie? What is a Valkyrie?
A Honda. Let me make sure I'm hitting the repeater here. Okay. It's the same thing as the Honda Goldwing. It just doesn't have all the fairing stuff on it. It does have the hard bags on the back that are painted to the color of the bike, and the thing looks brand new. It's it's in real good shape. The guy that had it before me just babied it, but this is a 98. But you'd be amazed that looking at it, you wouldn't think it was that old.
Sounds like it's been sitting for a long time, like mine has too. Mine has 2,400 miles on it. And it's a 2009 is what it is. So, yeah. I bought it with big intentions, but what happened after 2000? That was the recovery after the financial crisis, and I was learning how to trade stocks back then. So I got all wrapped up in that and didn't have time to ride it much.
Well, my wife wants me to sell this one. I really don't want to, but I guess I will. I don't ride it a whole lot, and but I do. Keep it up. I've got a battery tender on it, and I started up. You hit the choke, and then that thing starts right up. And it'd be a great bike for somebody because there's not a thing wrong with it, and so they wouldn't, have to be throwing a bunch of parts at it or buying tires for it and stuff like that because it's ready to hit the road. One thing I like about it is on long trips, it's got a really comfortable seat, and you don't find yourself having fanny fatigue, riding on long trips. The other Hondas I've had, they've been V-twins, but seats were just awful. I mean, you wouldn't know it when you got on it, but after you ride it about an hour, you're ready to get off and walk around for a little bit.
I think most, well, a lot of them are like that. At least the ones that I've had in the past. And most of mine have been like the cafe racer style, except for I did have some enduro bikes, and those would really wear you out. An enduro bike when you're riding on the street. There's a bunch of those too. Those enduro bikes in Europe, they have more of those than Harleys or cafe style racers. They're middle. The on-road, off-road bikes are what's most popular over there, and they're probably what you see the least over here.
Yep. I see a lot of Harleys on the road here, around here. Of course, there's a Harley. You know, they built a store over there off of, right near the 385-85 intersection, and but the nearest one, the nearest shop to me is I think it's called Power Sports. It's right down there in Wade Hampton. And that's usually where I get my stuff, you know, if I need a part or whatever. But one thing I like about them, I think they're the dealership I'm thinking about. They're networked all the other Honda places in the United States. So, like, if you need a part and they don't have it, and I had the occasion I needed a part, and they didn't make it anymore, and the Honda place here didn't have it, and so they said there's two places in the United States that have it, and they gave me the phone numbers, and I called. The first place I called was in Alabama, and they had it, and yeah, they shipped it to me. It was like $11, but you know, I had to have it, so yeah, it worked out great.
W4DJW. Yeah, I've always worked with that place across the street from Taylor's Main Street, where Taylor's Main Street forks off and goes down through Taylor's off of Wade Hampton. Across the street from that, I think, is a Suzuki place. And that's the place I've always gone to. I think I've had Suzuki's. Well, I had a Hudaka one time. And I don't think I've never had a Harley or a Honda. But I've been to the Honda place a bunch of times. Well, I did have a Honda scooter one time. That was a fun little scooter. But never a Harley or any big Honda bike or anything like that. Just mostly cafe-style racer bikes.
4CBA. Yeah, most of mine have been, my first bike was a Kawasaki Vulcan 750. But, And you know, that was the first bike I ever had. And then when I sold it, I started buying Honda Shadows. And you know, just really like them. I get the 1100 so I can kind of spread out on it. And, because there's nothing worse than having your knees, you know, crammed up in your chest when you're trying to ride a motorcycle. But anyway, and, you know, other than the uncomfortable seat, they were good bikes. And never really had a problem with any of them. But my dream bike has always been the Valkyrie, and they've come way down in price, and when I saw that and I found this one, It was up somewhere around Asheville, I think. Anyway, I kind of jumped on it. And my wife drove me up there and I bought it and rode it home.
Well, that's a coincidence. My wife was instrumental in my getting the one that I have now, too. I had a 600 Katana, and we were riding by there, and I said, I just want to take a look at the latest motorcycles and see what they got. So she said, yeah, fine, let's stop in there. That place I was telling you about, Suzuki place across from the entrance to Taylor's. And she saw that, the black 1300R Hayabusa, and she said, that's a pretty bike. And I said, yeah, I know, but I don't need one that like that that's that big. And she says, that sure is a pretty bike. And then later we came home, and she kept saying that over and over and over again until finally I went up there and got it. So and now she's the one who wants me to sell it. So and the more I work on it, the less I want to sell it.
Of course. Yeah, my last Honda Shadow, when I bought it, I bought it used and it had some problems. Nothing super major, but just some things that needed to be fixed. And the main thing was somebody put straight pipes on it, and it leaned out the fuel mixture, and because it didn't have any back pressure, and so it was running lean, and so when you tip in the throttle, it would hesitate. So somebody had the bright idea of taking one of the carburetors apart and shortening the stem, the fuel stem, I guess you call it, and they just cut off the end of it just a little bit, and that took care of the hesitation, but it also created, made it run rich in that cylinder and just, slid up the plug that was in it. And so I had to fix that, but that wasn't a big deal. And, God, I can't remember what else I did to it, but it was actually in much better shape when I sold it than it was when I bought it. So whoever got it got a good deal, because it didn't need a thing when I sold it. It was ready to go.
That's what Amy wanted me to do, is just price it to sell, just price it to move. And I told her I wasn't going to do that. Just after that many years, you get close to it. Even though I wasn't using it, riding it near as much, it's still always in the back of my mind that I was going to be riding it. Are you? And you're not planning on riding yours much anymore either?
I've noticed in the last year or so, I have more trouble holding the bike up at a stop. It doesn't, it's a little top heavy, and it doesn't, you can't just lean it over at a stop position. It'll fall over with you, and it's 750 pounds. I mean, I can't pick it up if I drop it, so, by myself. So anyway, you have to really, I have to really watch myself, when I come to a stop, and all roads aren't level at a red light or a stop sign, whatever. And so, you're having to hold the bike straight up, maybe on a road that's leaning. And it can be kind of tricky, but I guess there's a downside to it. but, you know, somebody younger than me wouldn't have it. Heck, I didn't have any handle on it. Until about a year or two ago, I just, you know, once you get a rolling, you don't notice the fact that it's top heavy. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't bother it the way it handles or anything, so. But just when you're sitting still, or you're trying to, I back it into the garage the way I put it in the garage, I back it in, and that can be a little tricky. Turning the wheel and trying to back that big thing up, and anyway, it can be a lot of fun.
I know what you're talking about there. Mine's the exact same way. That's what I miss most about the 600 Katana, is it was light. It was super lightweight. You could stand up and throw it to either side. Really, really simple. 1300, not so much. It's pretty heavy. And it's the same. I worry about the same thing. I don't think it weighs quite as much as that one, but it is up there. A whole lot more weight than the Katana had. W4DJW.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, this bike, it will absolutely get up and go. I mean, when I come out of first, I can lay into it, and if I'm like on Wade Hampton, I'm in the front of the line there on my lane, and I look my rearview mirror, and everybody's, you know, half a mile behind me. I mean, I just walk off and leave everybody. It's got 125 horsepower, so it, you know, for that size bike, it'll really get up and go. And but it's really made for cruising. It, you know, like I said, it's comfortable. And it's just a great bike to ride, you know, even if you're riding in the city, which I have done several times, it's still a great bike. It's just a lot more comfortable, you know, on the road and that sort of thing. But anyway. Oh, me. Well, I think my Carolina Wyndham antenna was a little bit in the wind that we had during that storm that came through, and because I can't, my radio won't tune 80 meters below 3900, and or above 3900. It'll tune below that, but when you get to 3900, it just won't tune. I have a tuner, and it'll tune usually, you know, but I just don't want to have to go through all that rigmarole, especially, you know, since I'm not using the amp. I don't really need I shouldn't need an external tuner. So I got to move that antenna around just a little bit. And I know what I need to do. I just need to get out there and do it. I guess, you know, I either have too much to do, or I'm just, some days I'm just plumb lazy.
W4DJW syncing up with a repeater. I looked up the weight of the Katana versus the Hayabusa. It's 438 pounds versus 582 pounds. That extra over 100 pounds makes a big difference. Well, I hate your antenna messed up. Mine did too, my HF antenna. Every time I take the dogs out, we make one or two trips around the house in the yard. And every time we come by the vertical antenna, it's a 17-foot collinear sitting on top of a 30-foot, three 10-foot sections of steel pipe that's bolted to the side of the house as it goes up. And during the hurricane, the end the farthest away snapped, and all that antenna come flying back over toward that vertical antenna, and it just made a fur ball on the vertical antenna, like 30 feet up in the air. And my ladder only goes 24 feet up in the air. So the alternative to that is what Steve Tunno did at KV0 KVJ when he was up here. He just climbed up on the roof and went down to the antenna. I'm not about to do that. That roof is about 45-degree angle, and it's 30 feet up off of the ground. You fall 30 feet, you're going to go splat. So mine is just sitting there waiting for me to do something. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Wish I could say, you know, I could help you out, but I don't know if I'd want to get on a roof with that kind of slant on it. I can get up on mine, but of course my house is just one story. But I mean, you could break a leg falling off of it, but but I'm rarely up there anymore. And I always get up there when my wife's not home because she has a cow. It's kind of like, you know, what she doesn't know won't hurt her. Is that the way that saying is?
What was the last thing you said? I think it blanking out on you a little bit. Say that again.
I just pulled in the neighborhood over here in Easley, or Powdersville. I was saying what she doesn't know won't hurt her.
Oh, yeah, that's a good attitude. that's a good attitude as long as you're safe. Anyway, sounds like you're about to get destinated, so I won't hold you any longer. But appreciate the conversation. While I'm on my break, I got to go back out there and get to work and find some thread for that pull start and re-thread that pull start up and then get back to work. Crack the whip. KV4CBA, W4DJW.
All right, Dave. Well, yeah, I just pulled up at my daughter's house, and my wife's already here, and I think my daughter gets off from work in about 30 minutes, and we're going to go get something to eat. My grandson's here as well, so anyway. But I enjoyed it. Appreciate you riding along with me, and I'll talk to you later. W4DJW, KP4CBA.